We welcome Simarjit Singh and we look forward to your address.
Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be here. You see, for some reason, I was not able to make it to the earlier physical conventions which happened, but I'm happy, I'm glad that thanks to technology, I'm able to interact with all of the followers of this great conference that has been organized year after year. And I appreciate, I applaud the efforts, because just to have a meaningful dialogue around the subject of spirituality in itself, a meaningful dialogue with an open mind in a space where people are welcoming, accepting of each other's ideas, of the diversity that our beautiful country is, of this beautiful world, if we can openly listen to each other and have a meaningful dialogue along the very important subject of spirituality, that in itself is a great accomplishment. So my sincere respect and appreciation for the organizers, for the visionaries behind this, because as Aristotle said many thousands of years ago, if knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom, and then knowing each other is the beginning of peace, but it begins by knowing yourself. I love what Swamiji's concluding notes, as he was speaking before me, what his concluding notes were. Quoting from Swami Vivekananda's speech in Chicago, that those who worship in temples are actually religious, but those who worship the fellow human being, they are gods themselves. So I will speak from a personal perspective about spirituality today, what my own spiritual practices and beliefs are, and hopefully you may be able to take something away from them. I think the first thing is to recognize your own divinity. If you were to ask me what spirituality means to me, I think the first thing that I will talk about is recognize your own divinity, that you have the power to reinvent your life, that you have the power to ease the suffering of your fellow human beings, that you have the power to display compassion and love for people that you don't even know, that you have the power to make scientific breakthroughs and do so many things. Recognize your own divinity. That's the first thing. And regardless of where you were born, regardless of the circumstances of your birth, regardless of your past, regardless of your failures, regardless of the embarrassments along the way, recognize that at the core, you are a divine force. And if you recognize that, if you tap into that, you can literally change your life at any point of time. The other option is very dangerous. The other option is playing the victim. People who play the victim, they look at themselves as if they have little control over anything. All of this has happened to me. I am at the receiving end. Life has been unfair, and this is how my life is meant to be, and I will be a victim. And that's a very dangerous story to tell. A more powerful story to tell would be, I am a divine being, and by tapping into my divinity, by honoring my divinity, as Swamiji was saying, be mindful and take more deep breaths in, by recognizing that within me is a divine force which is connected to a higher force, I can change my life. I can reinvent myself. There is even now research happening in a field called epigenetics, where scientists believe that just by changing your beliefs, just by changing your thoughts, you can now determine which genes will become active in your body and which ones will stay dormant. For example, if everyone is in your family has had a history of diabetes, so they probably might have passed on the gene to you as well. But your behavior, so this is what science of epigenetics says, that your behavior determines whether those genes will become active or whether they will stay dormant or whether they will stay asleep. If you're telling the victim story, which is, oh, everybody in my family has diabetes. I'm 45 now, so I should be having diabetes anytime now. In fact, I have told so many people about this story that if I don't get diabetes in the next 1 year, I will actually be very disappointed. To that extent, people can believe in the story of being a victim. And the other story is believing in your divinity, which is, you could say, I might have been in my physical body, I might have been passed genes, behaviors, and thought patterns from my ancestors, from my parents, but I believe I'm a divine being And by the power of my thought, by tapping into that power, I can create a brand new story. I do not have to suffer due to what is written in the genetic code. That is the gift we all have. Martin Luther King Jr., he said it beautifully. We are living in an era of guided missiles and misguided men and women. With technology so advanced that with precision we can hit another country with our missiles. And yet the vast majority of human beings are lost. And you talk to young people, there's suicidal tendencies. They're not happy with what they have. There is so much of material progress that we have made in this country over the last 10, 20 years. We have improved that there is millions of people have been added to the new middle class in India. Millions have been lifted out of poverty. We have a lot more abundance than we did 20, 30 years ago. We have more food grains produced in this country than we ever had before. We have more milk being produced than we ever had before, right? Yet, despite the rise in per capita incomes, we have not seen a corresponding rise in per capita happiness. And I think we need to reflect on that as a society. And as individuals, we need to begin by connecting with our divinity to understand that I am a divine being. I'm no less than anyone else. If person A, B, or C, who appears religious, who appears evolved, quote unquote evolved, or who has certain practices to tap into a higher power, I also have access to the same. And this is what I believe in. If it is possible for another human being, it's possible for you too. And all you need to do is just start telling a brand new story. Start by looking within. Bulle Shah, the famous Sufi mystic, he said this, Pad pad ilm hazar kitabaan. Pad pad ilm hazar kitabaan. Kadi apne aap nu padhya nahi. Ja ja vardai mandir masiti. Kadi man apne vich vadhya nahi. Aivein ladda shaitan de naal bandhya. Aivein ladda shaitan de naal bandhya. Kadi nafs apne naal ladhya nahi. Because shaitan say you fight with the Satan who you believe is an external force, but you have not fought with the negative forces inside your head. And I think one of the negative, biggest negative forces inside our head is the one that tells us that I am less than other human beings. Or person XYZ was blessed with this capacity to do though. He is naturally talented or he has this. No, no, no. If it's possible for another human being, it's possible for you too. So begin by recognizing your own divinity. Number two, begin and then move on to recognizing the divinity in other people too. The old Japanese proverb goes, there are many paths to the top of the mountain. There are many paths to the top of the mountain. Don't judge people for the paths they've chosen. Or their external appearances or their religious practices. Respect everyone. And in that atmosphere of respect and mutual understanding, we can create a brand new world. Elon Musk is looking for life on Mars, a different planet. He wants to create a settlement for humanity on Mars, which I believe is a great mission by all means. He's an entrepreneur. He's reaching to the edge of the space. He wants to create a human settlement on another planet called Mars. But at the same time, the ones who influence how life is lived on this planet, we also need to reflect, can we do better here? Is there scope for improvement here? Do we need to improve the environment, not just our mental environment, our physical environment also? You see, everybody who's into spirituality will ask you to take a deep breath in and inhale every now and then, which is a great thing. But if the air that I'm breathing in is becoming toxic, it'll become increasingly difficult for me to be keep in touch with my divinity. If the food that we are producing becomes toxic and cancerous, then it'll become more difficult for me to be in touch with my divinity. So we need to reflect, every single one of us, because that's my third point. To give your best every day is also being spiritual. You don't need to be sitting in a place of organized religion, a mandir, a masjid, a gurdwara, or a church in order to get in touch with your divinity. Whatever your chosen profession is today, if you are able to give absolutely your best, that is the service of the highest order. That's what's written in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what's written in the Guru Granth Sahib. In fact, in Sikhism, the three founding principles, the three main guiding principles are Number one, kirt karo. Kirt means hard work. Work hard. That's one of our founding philosophical principles in Sikhism. Kirt karo. Number two is naam japo. Meditate. Meditate on the Lord's name. And number three is vand chako, which means share what you have. I think even if one follows just these three principles, that you're able to inculcate the desire of service to your fellow human being, that you're able to meditate on the Lord's name, and then you're able to share your gifts. That's a wonderful philosophy right there. So to be able to give your best every day to whatever that you're doing, are you doing justice to the opportunity that you have today or not? That is spirituality. If you're a doctor, are you giving the best treatment possible to your patients or not? That is spirituality. If you're a teacher, are you giving the best life education to the children in your classrooms or not? That is spirituality. If you're a street sweeper, are you sweeping the streets like a painter is painting the painting or not? That is spirituality. मैं कुछ पंक्तियां हिंदी में यहां कहना चाहूंगा. ये मैं आज सुबह ही मेडिटेशन में इमर्ज हुई कि रणभूमि किसी व्यक्ति की क्या है, ये हम तय नहीं कर सकते. किसी की रणभूमि बॉर्डर पर है, किसी की रणभूमि बिजनेस वर्ल्ड में है, किसी की रणभूमि स्पोर्ट्स में है, तो किसी की रणभूमि पॉलिटिक्स में है. वी डू नॉट चूज अवर बैटल ग्राउंड्स, वी गेट टू चूज हाउ वी फाइट द बैटल. रणभूमि क्या होगी हमारी, ये हम तय नहीं कर सकते. हम जंग किस तरह से लड़ेंगे, ये हम तय कर सकते हैं. थ्रू दिस अवर कैरेक्टर इज रिफ्लेक्टेड एंड थ्रू दिस वी गेट इन टच विद द डिवाइन बाय क्रिएटिंग अ बैलेंस बिटवीन कनेक्शन विद द डिवाइन एंड ऑल्सो कनेक्शन एंड सर्विस टू योर फेलो ह्यूमन बींग्स. इफ यू हैव अ विजिट द गोल्डन टेम्पल यू विल फाइंड, परहैप्स इफ यू ऑब्जर्व केयरफुली यू विल फाइंड सी समथिंग वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग. वी हैव टू निशान साहिब्स. निशान साहिब इज द tall pole with the Kesari flag on it. That is an indication of a holy place of worship. So in the Golden Temple, you will see two Nishan Sahibs. And one is slightly higher than the other. So I once asked Granthiji what these two Nishan Sahibs stand for. And he said they stand for the philosophy of the sixth Sikh Guru, Shri Har Gobind Sahib Ji, who laid the foundation of this principle called Miri and Piri. One Nishan Sahib is a little bit taller than the others. So Miri and Piri. Miri hai governance. Amir is the one who is the doing the very best in the worldly affairs. The Pir is the one who is the spiritual being, the Sufi being. So both have to be inculcated with us. But they place, the one Nishan Sahib is a little bit taller than the others. Because the Piri is higher than the Miri. The spiritual, our spiritual duties are higher than our worldly duties, but that does not mean we escape our worldly duties. Not all of us will get a chance to probably travel to the Himalayas and sit in silence and meditate. But all of us do have some responsibilities. And whatever we are doing, if we are able to fulfill those, lift your fellow human beings, bring a smile to someone's face. Put some energy, hope, and enthusiasm in someone who has lost hope. You are exercising your divine power when you're doing that. Think about that. To practice gratitude is to be spiritual. That's what spirituality means to me. Are you thankful for what you have today or not? Those little things. So it was a short talk. I welcome questions from the audience, Madhumita ji. But before we do that, I just spoke on what spirituality means to me on a day-to-day basis. I'm no spiritual master, but I do know this. But we are all divine beings. If we respect our divinity and that of our fellow human beings, with respect and an open mind, you see, parachutes and human minds, they only function when they're open. So if we open our mind to a different point of view, so two things before we open for questions. Number one is this. Can we have a friend who's from a different religion? This thing will go a long way in promoting world peace and harmony. Can you have a friend, if not a best friend, just a friend who's from another religion in your friend circle? If there is one person, one or two people from different religions, that will create compassion and understanding, because we human beings, we are afraid of what we do not understand. So if we do not understand the religious practices or beliefs or faiths of other people, we misunderstand them. Just like little kids misunderstand darkness. Darkness, they create all these imaginary creatures in darkness. And if it's dark outside, that means there is something dangerous. No. As they grow up, they realize, no, it's just dark. I just need to switch on the light. And the same way, we need to switch on the light. And the darkness of our mind will go away by understanding. Read the scriptures of other religions. Have a friend from other religions. Listen to them. Participate in their festivals. And remove these divisions from your mind. I think this is the best service we can do to the world, is remove the divisions from your mind. Interesting incident comes to my mind. We have a friend who usually brings in calendars towards the end of the year. Old-fashioned tradition. I mean, we don't use calendars so much anymore, but they distribute calendars towards the end of every year. So they have different printouts of different gods on them. So he said, oh, your calendar is delayed this year. I said, why? I just jokingly asked him why. He said, no, because I did not have enough calendars with the faces of the Sikh gurus printed on them. And I said, well, you know, who told you that it makes a difference to me? I respect all religions. If you were to give me a calendar with Maa Saraswati on it, or Mahalakshmi on it, or Bhagwan Krishna on it, or Guru Nanak Devji on it, it would not make a difference. But, you know, I didn't say that to him, but this is the thought that crossed my mind. You know, he's probably looking at the situation from that perspective, because that's how he's thinking. Remove the divisions from your mind. Old Zen story goes, there were these two Buddhist monks who were just about to cross a river. And they saw a woman who was drowning in the river, almost drowning, shouting for help. And both of them were strong, able-bodied men. Both of them knew swimming well. But the Buddhists, these Buddhist monks had a vow, that the vow was they would never touch a woman. But here was a situation that a fellow human being was drowning. So one of the monks, he extended his hand to the woman and pulled her out of the water and carried her on his back to the other end and saved her life. And towards the end, when he put her off his back, they said thank you to each other and they moved on. Both the monks walked in silence for quite some time, until one of the monks, he couldn't hold this question inside his mind. And he said, brother, what did you do? You just broke your vow. And your vow was that I will never ever touch a woman. You just touched a woman, carried her on your back for 20 minutes. Well, he said to his fellow monk, he said, listen, I put her down almost 30 minutes ago. It is you who is still carrying her in your mind. It is you who is still carrying her in your mind. We need to remove the divisions, the misunderstandings from our mind. And that is when we can create a beautiful world for us and our children. And when it comes to children, parents, if you're watching, be mindful of what you plant. If you plant hatred, you will sow hatred. And I see we are living in the times where so much hatred, whether it's on WhatsApp groups or Facebook groups, so much hatred can be floating around. If our young minds catch this hatred for other religions and other people with different beliefs, we will live in a world that will be a very dangerous place to be in. We need to plant the seeds of understanding. So, Madhumita ji, as we can take questions, I just wanted to read out this little poem by a poet named Baba Nazmi, a Punjabi poet, and I'll do my best to translate it as well later on. But a lot of the things will be lost in translation, but I must read it out nevertheless. Punjabi mein hai, but main translate karunga. Masjid meri tu kyun taavein, main kyun toda mandir nu? Masjid meri tu kyun taavein, main kyun toda mandir nu? Aaja bai ke dove padhiye ik duje de andar nu. Why should you destroy my mosque, and why should I break your temple? Let's both sit down and read each other's minds. Masjid meri tu kyun taave, main kyun toda mandir nu? Aaja bai ke dove padhiye ik duje de andar nu. Sadiyan vangu aj vi kuj nahi jana mandir masjid da, lahu te tera mera lagna tere mere khanjar nu. Next line, he says, like centuries, the people who run the masjid and the mandir, they will not lose anything. The blood on the daggers will be your blood and my blood. Rab kare tu mandir vangu vekhe meri masjid nu. May the Almighty bless you with a vision where you look at my masjid as your temple. Rab kare tu mandar vangu vekhe meri masjid nu. Ram kare main masjid vangu vekha tere mandar nu. Tu bismillah padh ke mainu nanak da prasad phada. Tu bismillah padh ke mainu nanak da prasad phada. Main nanak di bani padh ke deya husaini langar nu. Sade singa fasdeya rehna. He says, we will continue getting into fights. Sade singa fas, and why? He explains in the next line. Sade singa fasdeya rehna, khurli tendi rehni hai, jinna chikar nath na pai, nafrat wale dangar no. So he's creating a village scene where, you know, when the two bulls, they fight and they lock their horns and they destroy everything. And he says, he's comparing, who are these two bulls? That is hatred and misunderstanding. Sade singa fasdeya rehna, ਖੁਰਲੀ ਢਹਿੰਦੀ ਰਹਿਣੀ ਹੈ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਨੱਥ ਨਾ ਪਾਈ ਨਫ਼ਰਤ ਵਾਲੇ ਡੰਗਰ ਨੂੰ ਨੱਥ ਨਫ਼ਰਤ ਨੂੰ ਨੱਥ ਪਾਉਣ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਹੈ ਵੀ ਨੀਡ ਟੂ ਕੰਟਰੋਲ ਹੇਟਰਡ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਸੋਸਾਇਟੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਬੀ ਡਨ ਓਨਲੀ ਬਾਈ ਟੂ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਸਟਾਰਟਡ ਵਿਦ ਰੈਕੋਗਨਾਈਜ਼ ਯੋਰ ਓਨ ਡਿਵਿਨਿਟੀ ਐਂਡ ਰੈਕੋਗਨਾਈਜ਼ ਦ ਡਿਵਿਨਿਟੀ ਇਨ ਦੋਜ਼ ਅਰਾਊਂਡ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਈਵਨ ਦੇ ਮਾਈਟ ਲੁੱਕ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਟਾਕ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਈਟ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਵਰਸ਼ਿਪ ਅ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਗੋਡ ਸਟਿਲ When we strip away all these worldly things, at the core we'll find we are all one. This oneness is what we need to tap into.
That was beautiful. And it's so important. The main issue that you addressed is that the kind of homogeneity that is being imposed upon us by the superpowers, by political forces, that is something we have to resist. And we have to sort of advance inclusiveness because that is so important. There is one question that I would that we had received from our viewers. Incidentally, more than 3,000 people have been watching this, and wow. Right now online we have more than 1,000 viewers, but already, you know, viewers come and go, and there has been more than 3,000 people. So one of the questions that we received is that everything is now interpreted or analyzed in the context of the pandemic in the present scenario. So how can spirituality be defined or placed in this present scenario, in the space of the pandemic?
The pandemic has pushed us towards oneness. Look at this technology right now. I would need to travel for 1.5 days to be in a conference room to be with you earlier. I just had to move from the other room to the studio to speak to you now. The pandemic has pushed us towards oneness. You know, I think it's maybe a divine, harsh wake-up call from the divine to wake up humanity. Do you know, I live in Jalandhar, Madhumita ji, and the Himalayas, Himachal is not too far from where we live. And what they say is 100 years ago, the air was so clean that we could see the mountains from here. And right. during the lockdowns was after 100 years.
A view of the mountains.
Absolutely. That it was after 100 years when humanity paused, nature flourished. The pandemic was a wake-up call for us humans. And look at this, the unpredictability. So many people were hanging on to so many things, you know, superfluous things. And all of that just vanished during this time. I think it's a wake-up call for us to realize there is nothing more important than connection with the divine, connection with your loved ones, leading the life of your dreams, serving other people, right? When you lead the life of your dreams, when you achieve your highest potential, you are serving God. Mahatma Gandhi, he said this. He said, one who does less than what he can is a thief. So if I'm a doctor, who can do an excellent heart surgery, but I do an average heart surgery because I want to do 5 more, I'm stealing and God is watching. So my commitment, I'm first answerable to my own self, be answerable to your own self. That's what the pandemic is teaching us. And then, you know what, another beautiful aspect that came forward during the pandemic was the best and the worst of human nature. The best of human nature came forward when people were selflessly serving others, with oxygen langars, or people were opening the doors of their homes for strangers. They're doing so much for absolute strangers. People were connecting out on the streets who'd never known each other before, were now putting their lives at risk for each other. Think about that. It brought out the best in us. It also brought out the worst in us. where ambulance drivers were charging 50,000 rupees to take a patient to the hospital, where people who had the drugs available were hoarding the drugs and selling them for higher prices. Which means what? That this whole concept of heaven and hell is not an external concept, it's here. It is here. For somebody who did not have 50,000 rupees, if they were charged for an ambulance for 50,000 rupees, that person witnessed hell here on planet Earth. And for someone who could not get access to an oxygen cylinder, got an oxygen cylinder from an absolute stranger, he witnessed heaven right here. Heaven and hell are here. That's what the pandemic taught us. And then thanks to technology, it brought us all closer together. It's how we use it now. And that will depend upon the leaders of our society, not just political leaders. It's teachers, it's educators, it's spiritual leaders, it's influencers. It is our role models that we look up to. It's our movie stars, it is our songwriters. Every section of society, what are we propagating it to our, especially to our young ones, because they'll be the torchbearers in a few years from now. The ones who are 20s, in their 20s at the moment, will be in leadership positions 10 years from now. They will be running companies, countries, homes and schools and colleges. If they are planted with the right message, we will flourish as a planet together. So absolutely. I think the top priority should be nurturing the young minds, because for some of us, the damage has already happened to our brains and it's too late to change that. But I'm optimistic. I don't lose hope. But the most fertile ground is the young ones. And that's where we need to put in more efforts.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really need to hold on to the lessons that we have learned from the pandemic. Thank you once again. It was wonderful listening to you.
Thank you. Namaskar, Sat Sri Akal, Assalamu Alaikum, and Jai Hind.